I'm going to read scripture for this morning. It comes from Luke 13, verses 31 to 35. At that time, some Pharisees told Jesus, "Get out of here and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "You tell that fox that I will force demons out of people, and I will heal people today and tomorrow, and I will finish my work on the third day. But I must be on my way today and tomorrow and the next day. It's not possible for a prophet to die outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone to death those sent to you. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Your house will be abandoned. I can guarantee that you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. And may God bless Janet as she shares with us.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. And it's good to see all of you here this morning, braving the snow and the ice and everything else that we thought might be worse yesterday, right? I'm glad to be here, too. Let's see if I can get my papers all in a row here. I'm sorry that I am not like Steve and I do not have an overhead for you to watch. I'm not a creator of overheads, so sorry about that. You'll just have to listen. Thank you. We are in this season of Lent, which leads us right up to Good Friday or Black Friday and on to the glorious Easter Day. We know this 2,000 years later after the fact, but in the time of our text and of the time of Jesus' life here on earth, and I try hard to grasp this, the disciples and the crowds did not know what was happening or what the end results would be. Our text is from Luke 13, and you heard it read. Did you hear where Jesus is on his journey toward Jerusalem? Who is with him and what they say to him, and who does Jesus say that he is? And we've already been reminded about hens and foxes. I think one pretty obviously creates more fear within us, and the other creates perhaps more compassion within us. Which one do you or do I want to imitate or be like? Are we in our reality today and in this Lenten season, are we instinctively or inwardly or purposefully going from fear toward compassion right now? Or from compassion toward fear? And why? I've thought about what might, or what does this text and this theme have to say about our present reality? The Pharisees were religious leaders in their day, and they have a complicated and not always very clear relationship to Jesus. Although Jesus, in Luke's gospel, doesn't seem to arrive at Jerusalem until the final days before the crucifixion, he is on the way. He has set his face towards Jerusalem from chapter 9, verse 51 and onward. You can check back there. He is going there, and he most surely knows why. And the Pharisees, these Jewish religious leaders, are skeptical of Jesus through this whole journey, questioning him with hostile complaining, ridiculing, watching him to accuse him, and more. They also invite him to eat, to ask more questions, perhaps. Actually, Luke, according to one of the commentaries, or several perhaps, regards them a bit more positively, the Pharisees, than the other Gospels do. He also mentions in some way or other, some 32 times mentions the Pharisees, while the other Gospels refer to the Pharisees only approximately 12 times each. Not terribly long before this, Jesus denounced them because they were alarmed because he did not wash his hands before eating. So they, in return, began watching him to trip him up. Here in today's text, they are warning Jesus to get away because Herod wants to kill you. Are they really sincere and concerned about this? Or are they working up to trap him? Probably later, they don't really give us a reason, probably the latter, because they don't really give us a reason to think that they are very sincere. And Jesus responds, interestingly enough, "Go tell that fox," referring to Herod, "about everything I'm doing." That fox, that kind of strikes me as strange words to hear from Jesus, but a phrase that paints Herod as sly, cunning, and voraciously destructive, according to one commentary. Not something or someone that I want to encounter alone on a dark street. Actually, I think foxes are beautiful. I haven't seen very many, but a year or two ago, I saw one cross the path in front of me, quite a distance away, thankfully, on the path between Landis Homes and Oregon Dairy. And there it went, not terribly fast, bright, red, thick tail. We think of them as having red, thick fur and alert, beady eyes. Lovely and graceful. Lovely and graceful because I was far enough away. But more than that outward appearance, they are destructive. We don't want them getting into our hen houses, if we have any, and slaughtering the chickens that are there. So here in this text, Jesus depicts Herod like a devouring fox. That seems like strong language on Jesus' part, referring to Herod as someone to be afraid of. Fear. What happens to us when we are so fearful of something? Fear is a basic human emotion that creeps up in all of us at different times in our lives. Fear of violence, that we aren't safe, that our job is not secure, that I'm not capable, that I won't make the cut, that my children or my parents don't love me, and you can think of other reasons to fear and be fearful. Fear can be rational or irrational, but we've all experienced it and witnessed it in others. Fear can be dangerous. I can harm others in a flagrant attempt to protect me. I can act out of fear and do things that I wouldn't or maybe even couldn't do otherwise. A group of people gripped by fear is even more treacherous. Countless wars have been launched on the basis of fear for the other, or fear of the other, or of an enemy. It seems to me we have front row seats right now in our warring world. Or look at Abram in the Genesis text of this week's Lenten texts, in case you've read them. He's afraid that his life won't mean anything if he doesn't have a biological heir. Heir, H-E-I-R. God promises, I am your shield. But that's not enough for Abram. He wants to know beyond doubt that he will live on, so to speak, through his own biological descendant or descendants. Jesus nevertheless asserts that he has nothing to fear from Herod the fox. Herod will not hinder Jesus' work of healing the sick and casting out demons. In 3 days, Jesus says, and it's not really clear whether this refers to a 3-day journey to get to Jerusalem or to the 3 days of his death and resurrection. But in 3 days, he will finish his work. In any case, he must be on his way. He must die in Jerusalem. He will die according to God's plan. And Herod, that fox, will not hinder him. Then comes another image in this text. Jesus continues, saying he must get on toward Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, not so unlike foxes stalking and killing, and where Jesus knows that he too will be killed. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, Jesus cries. What depth of feeling must be coming from his very own soul? How often I have wanted to gather your people together as a hen gathers her tiny chicks under her wings. Jesus changes the imagery for himself. He is not the fox, like Herod, slinking about to grab and destroy. He is the mother hen who quickly gathers her chicks under her wings, as the children could see up here. Any fox is out to seize and kill. She gathers her chicks under her wings. She is the protecting one. Probably many of us have had some experience with the cuteness of chicks. You can think of cute Easter chicks that we see in a few weeks, painted all kinds of colors, right? And the careful urgency of a mama hen clucking her chicks to safety under her body and wings. Or you've probably heard the proverbial story of the barn fire that revealed a burned carcass of a hen with the chicks still alive, sheltered safely beneath. Jesus uses this illustration of a hen gathering her chicks to describe what God is about. God is the mother hen who wants to gather all of us into that place of protection and safety. But it seems hopeless. What chance does a hen with chicks have against a sneaky fox in the hen house? We who know the end of the story know that it is not hopeless. The foxes of this world don't have the last word over us. Life is a journey. It's messy. It's dangerous. It's violent for us as individuals and for our world. Our nations today are hurting and bleeding. We can't comprehend all that is happening or why. And we have our own individual and family hurts and pain and illnesses and losses and sorrows, distanced relationships, and you can mention other pain in our families and our lives. As we seek to live faithfully in the midst of all this and more, it's important for you and me to remember who holds us and our whole world in his hands, and who has the final say about everything? God, with our Savior Jesus Christ. We might say our mother hen. But trusting Jesus in desperate times is not always easy. So again, we ask how. How do we push back against the crushing weight of fear in tough times and lean intentionally into compassion for others and for ourselves? The mother hen's instinct seems to be protection of her chicks. We might not always have that instinct so deeply rooted, or perhaps it seems to evade us in crucial times. But I believe the Holy Spirit joins us in this work. Fear, by its nature, is inward looking, a concern for self over others and all else. There are instances when a certain level of fear is a good and necessary thing. Fear of driving too fast, especially on roads that might be icy, of standing too close to the edge or too close to the fire, of sticking our finger into the flame, figuratively speaking. Fear of wounding another. For the most part, though, fear is the opposite of compassion. It ignores and denies the other, even often vilifying the other as being the cause of our fear, making the other into the enemy. Compassion is perhaps the opposite. I shouldn't say perhaps. Compassion seems to be the opposite of fearful living. It considers the other. It tries to enter into the experience of the other, tries to walk in the shoes of the other, desires health and happiness for the other. When we hold tightly to compassion for others, we are able to diminish the power of fear in our lives and live more fully into the beauty of our own humanity. Compassion is rooted in the heart of who God is and who God created us to be. So let's embrace compassion for the other as our purpose, our theme in life, and call on God for strength, to strengthen us when fear rises up within. Be like that mother hen who holds compassion as greater than fear. It's important to remember that this journey for Jesus led him to the cross. Our journey through Lent leads us to ponder this significance of the cross. Jesus will be killed, but that is not the final word. The journey leads to an empty tomb. The final victory belongs to God and the risen Christ. As I close, I want to read the first six verses of Psalm 27, which is another one of today's Lent texts, actually all of Psalm 27, but I want to read only the first six verses. I love this psalm. And verse 4, "One thing I asked of the Lord," is one of my favorite verses. But it shows faith in God. "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And what difference does that make in our lives? "Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. So of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious and loving Lord Jesus Christ, we are held in the palm of your hand through thick and thin. We can only imagine ourselves held there in safety in your hand by your amazing grace. Our families and communities and friends, the whole wide world, especially those parts of our small world in this huge universe who experience such difficult conflicts, be there in their midst. Let us see you, the mother hen gathering her brood against today's foxes, under her wings to safety. Be near us today as we ponder you coming into our world for healing and salvation. Guide us, Lord Jesus, gracious God. We pray in your name. Amen.